attention for just the next moments. I promise you I won't keep you here the rest of the afternoon. But I do want to leave scripture with you and a message, and I'm going to try to do this as fast as I can. And if you'll just stay with me a few moments. We're involved in a current series, and I want to encourage you to join us as we're, even next week, not only Wednesday night for our Overcome series, we're doing Overcome Fear this Wednesday, but next Sunday we're continuing our series called Doing Life Better. Would you say that with me? Doing Life Better. That's the series we're in right now, and I want to encourage you, as I said, to join us next week. As a matter of fact, if you missed any of the last few weeks as we've introduced the series, you can go to our website, download free podcasts, and listen to those messages. And I want to tell you where this was birthed, and Spike, you would appreciate this. I was doing a ride-along as a chaplain with one of the officers at the police department, and I had spent the afternoon with him and the morning and the afternoon with him, and we had gone through an entire day of all kinds of people we met, all kinds of situations, traffic situations, domestic violence situations, I mean, all kinds of life situations. We were at a school, we were in homes, we were in the streets. I watched and observed the officer as we went through this day, and I helped him and assisted him through the day dealing with life. And at the end of the shift, when he dropped me off at the station, he turned to me and he said, "Chaplain, thanks for riding with me." And then he said this, "You know, Chaplain, people just don't know how to do life very well." And I thought, wow. I told him later, "You birthed a sermon and a series for me out of that statement. We don't know how to do life very well, oftentimes. Life is challenging. Life is confusing. Life is complicated, and I want you to know that the good news is that salvation, Christianity, and the Bible is all about doing life better. That's exactly what this church is about. It's why it exists, to help us do life better. You see, salvation, God's plan of salvation, sending Jesus to die and to be our Savior, is a plan to help us do life better. The Bible, this book is really a manual of principles on how to do life better. That's what it's all about. And so that's why this series is so important. And each of the messages that we have shared to this point, all the titles had the word better in it. And we're going to continue that next week. And I trust that you'll come back and join us if you're not part of a church. If you're guests with us and you're part of a church, please be faithful to your church. But thank you for those who would come back and join us again. And so I want to look at just a passage of scripture from the Gospel of John, the second chapter. And it fits with our theme, Best Wine, the theme for this new, for the 90th anniversary. And it also goes with our message on doing life better. Look at this passage of scripture with it as our focus this morning. When the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine, this was a wedding at Cana where Jesus turned the water into wine. The master of the banquet said, "Everyone brings the better wine." Would you say better wine? First, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink, but you have saved the best wine. Would you say best wine? The best wine for now. And I want to submit to us this morning that as we look back and we thank God for 90 years, and as we look back on all the people and all the things that took place to get us to this point, and while we celebrate and we thank God for, I want you to know that God, the way God operates is that he saves the best wine for now. And I want you to know that God still has good things and better things for your life and my life. That's what doing life better is all about, that Jesus has come to turn our water into wine. He's come to make our lives better and help us to do life better. So my title for this message this morning of our series, Doing Life Better, and again using that word better, is the better wine. How many know the best wine is the better wine? And Jesus, it says at the wedding, turned the better wine. He saved the best wine for last. I've told this story before, but I think it bears repeating. There was a man who was stumbling through the woods, and he was drunk. And he stumbled onto a preacher who was baptizing some people in the river. The man stumbled into the water, and he bumps into the preacher. The preacher turns. And he sees the man, and he was overtaken by the smell of the alcohol. And so he asks the man, are you ready to find Jesus? So the drunk says to him, yes, I am. And so the preacher takes him and he dunks him and he baptizes him in the water and he pulls him up and he says, brother, have you found Jesus? And the drunk looks at him and says, no, I haven't found Jesus. The preacher was a little shocked and a little surprised. And so he dunks him in the water again and baptizes him again. This time he holds him a little longer. And when he comes up, he says to the man, have you found Jesus? And the drunk again says, no, I haven't found Jesus. By this time, the preacher is frustrated. And so he takes the man and he dunks him a third time. And this time he holds him for about 30 seconds and the man's hands are flailing and his feet are flailing. Finally, he pulls him up out of the water. He says, for the love of God, have you found Jesus? And the drunk looks at him and he wipes his eyes from the water and he catches his breath and he says, are you sure this is where he fell in? Wine in the Bible is a type of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The word Spirit is the word pneuma, which means life. Spiritual life. We talk about the better wine. We're talking about a spiritual life, a spiritual journey by which we experience the life of God. We experience joy and peace and hope and the strength. That's what the better wine is all about. God wants us to taste of the better wine, the joy that's unspeakable, the peace that passes all understanding, hope that is unstoppable and beyond all that we can imagine. And so the story begins in John 2, and he tells us on a third day, how many know the third day represents resurrection, new life, new spiritual life? On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. I want to make an important point at this time and tell you that Christianity, at least true Christianity, is intended to be a wedding and not a funeral. How many know it's significant that the first place Jesus took his disciples was to a wedding? It's significant that the first miracle Jesus did was at a wedding, showing us that Christianity is to be a wedding. It's to be a celebration. It's to be about joy and hope and peace. It's not supposed to be a funeral. How many understand the Bible doesn't say that we were baptized into lemon juice and buried and raised with Christ to boringness of life? Matter of fact, the Bible says we were baptized with Christ into new wine of the Holy Spirit. We are raised and buried and raised with him to walk in newness and fullness of life. Christianity is all about new wine, new life, new hope. Can I ask you an important question this morning? And this is really the crux of my thought today, is what kind of life are we living? What kind of life are we living? Are we tasting of the better kind of life, the better wine that Jesus wants us to be? I wonder this morning, what kind of life? What describes our life, the cheaper wine or the better wine? What will speak of this church? What kind of church do we want to be? What kind of church have we been, and what kind of church do we want to be? Do we want to preach and serve the cheaper wine, or do we want to preach and serve the better wine, the best wine? To tell people that there's hope, there's peace, there's joy. There's a better way to live and do life through Jesus Christ. There are three things very quickly, and I'm going to do this as fast as I can, I promise you. There's the first of all in this story that talks about the empty life. Think about this morning. What kind of life do we have? There's the empty life. Look at what happens. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana, and Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were invited. Say invited. And notice this, and they ran out of wine. And Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. How many know every one of us have had experiences in our life where we've ran out of wine, where life has sucked the life out of us, where we've lost our joy, lost our peace, lost our hope. And I want you to know all of us have had moments when we feel like our life is described as an empty life, where we've ran out of wine. But I want you to know this morning that the description of the empty life can be summed up in one word, and that is survival. How many know there's a lot of people today who are living an empty life because all they're doing is surviving? They merely exist. They're just going through the motions. They don't have joy. They don't have peace. They don't have hope. They don't have the better wine in their life, and they feel empty. And the good news today, that the prescription for the empty life is to invite Jesus Christ in your life. Notice when Jesus showed up at the weddings, things happen. Because not only was Mary there, but Jesus and his disciples were invited. And today, if we will invite Jesus Christ into our life, how many know he can take our empty life and fill it with new wine and a better way to live? Now, the second kind of life is the full life. Not only is there the empty life, there's the full life. I want you to see what happens is they ran out of wine and they went to Jesus and he didn't want to get involved, but notice what happens. He got involved. And it says, Jesus answered and said, "Woman, why do you involve me? My hour is not yet come." And his mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says, do it." Nearby stood six water jars, each holding 20 or 30 gallons, could hold 30 or gallons. Jesus said, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled it to the brim. I want you to know today that Jesus doesn't want to just take our empty life. He wants to fill it with his joy. He wants to do it to the brim. Listen, when we involve him, he can do that. You see, the description of the empty life is survival, and the prescription is to invite Jesus. Well, the description of the full life is summed up in one word, is success. And how many know water represents the things of the natural life, the things that we can do and we can achieve? How many know there's a lot of us in this room today, through grit and through hard work and through, have filled our lives up with so many good things, just like they filled the six water jars. How many know we're just earthen vessels and clay water pots? And they filled it up with water. And how many know we can fill our life up to a certain point? What I want you to notice is that Jesus then took that wine, a water, and turned it into wine. And not only does he want to fill us, he wants us to have not just good things in this life that we can attain and achieve, but he wants to fill us with greater satisfaction and joy that only he can give. Because how many know, while we can do so much of success in life through grit, how many know with his grace we can enjoy the better wine and the best things, even in life? So the first kind of life that we can live is an empty life. One word description, survival. The prescription is to invite Jesus into our life. The second kind of life is the full life. The one word description is that of success. And the way to do that is to involve Jesus into every area of our life. Let me just take a moment before I go to the third one, because it's important that we realize the difference between just inviting Jesus into our life and involving him in our life. Notice Jesus was an invited guest and then he just took over. And how many know there's a difference when we let Jesus take care of every area of our life? That's when we really find fullness. And here's what's interesting, because have you ever invited someone to your home as a guest? How many know when you invite them in a home as a guest, how many know you clean things up and you make things nice? And guess what? You give them access to the living room, the dining room, maybe the kitchen, and hopefully a bathroom. But guess what? You don't let them go in your closets. You don't let them go in your office where your personal papers are. You don't let them go in the basement, in the attic. You don't let them go in your junk drawer, right? Because that's not for guests. Guests are restricted. And how many know there's a lot of people who invite Jesus into their life and say, "Take care of my sins and let me get to heaven," but they don't want him to get into the closet. They don't want him to clean out the junk drawer for them. They don't want to invite him into every area. And I want to tell you, the difference between an empty life and a full life is not only do we invite Jesus, but a full life is when we involve Jesus into every area of our life. The third kind of life is the overflow life. How many know that's really the better wine? There's the empty life, one word description is survival. The prescription is to invite Jesus. The full life, the one word description is success. Involve Jesus in our life. Well, the overflow life, the one word that describes it is significance. And the prescription is to not just invite Jesus and involve Jesus, but invest with Jesus. I want to show you what happens here as the story goes on and as we show you the end of the story. Then Jesus said, "Draw out the water that he had had them to put in the jars." And when they tasted the water that had turned into wine, he said to everyone, "Bring out the better wine." Everyone brings out the better wine, but you have saved the best wine for now, and this was the beginning of the miracles that Jesus did. Listen, if we want to move from survival to success, we've got to invite Jesus into our life and allow him to fill us with not only the good things he's blessed us with, but even greater things that only God can do. But if we want to move from a full life and from success to an overflowing life and significance, that's when we've got to invest. We've got to draw out and give out of the water that God has blessed us with and draw it out for others. You know, I one of the things I'm learning as I'm getting older in my life is that while thank God for some of the successes and some of the good things and the water I've been able to fill up my life with, I really see the importance of wanting to make a significant difference. I've talked to people all the time and they say, it's nice that you get to have some successes. It's nice that God blesses you with a lot of nice things and good things happen and thank God for that. But what they really desire and really long for is that their life is significant. There's a difference between success and how many know significance and making a difference with our life is the better wine. And I don't know about you, but that's what I want for my life. That's what I want for this church. And how many know the better wine is for now? Significance can matter. You see, we can leave a legacy. We can be that Mrs. Williams Joyce, I'm sorry. We can be that pebble in the pond that can be the ripple effect that can say, hey, that was significant. You know, when at the end of my life, I hope, I would be nice if people said he was a good pastor and preached nice sermons and so forth. You know what I want? I want to hear people say to my family or whoever happens to be there, he made a difference. That something he did, something he said, somewhere he went, some prayer he prayed, something he helped someone with, that it made a difference. Because that's the overflow life. That's the significant life. That's the life. But how many know that happens only by investing with Jesus? You see, you invite Jesus into an empty life, he can fill you with initial joy and salvation and peace. But if you want a full life, you got to take the grace and the grit that we have and ask God to give us the grace and involve him in every area of our life so he can fill us up. But if we want to have an overflow life and a significant life, what we need to do is we need to invest with Jesus. How many know they had to draw it out? They had to give it out. How many know God hasn't blessed me and blessed you for us just to bless ourselves? He's blessed you and he's blessed me to bless others, to help others, to make a difference in others' lives. That's real success. That's real significance, is when our life matters the most. Winston Churchill said this. He said, we make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give. And how many know when we give of ourselves, our time, our life, when we choose to serve and pray and become part of a family and a church and a ministry, when we choose to be that pebble in the pond, our life can make a significant blessing. There are people today we're thanking God for who aren't here anymore because their life made a difference and they're significant. So again, I ask you, what kind of life are you living? An empty life? If today you feel like you've ran out of joy, you've ran out of strength, you're just overwhelmed, listen, we've all been there. We've all had times like that. And if you feel like you just need some joy and you need, listen, if you'll open your heart to Jesus and say, Jesus, would you fill me today? How many know he can do that? Or maybe you're living a full life. And maybe you've accomplished some great things. Maybe you've reached some great achievements and you've attained some wealth or you've attained some good things. But yet you're still feeling like there's got to be more. I want not just success, I want significance. I want my life to matter for eternity. You know what? If we'll involve Jesus in every area of our life and we'll invest with him and we'll say, I'm willing to give of myself and what God has blessed me with so that other lives can be blessed. I got one last scripture in closing. Look at this. How many know this is a miracle how fast I've done this? But join us next week. We're going to continue in this better thing. But look at this. Thus saith the Lord. And how many know we could use a real prophetic word in the world that we live in today and all that's going on in our world today. Yet for a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth. How many know God's not done yet? How many know the best wine is still to come? Listen, God has still got good things. You look at the world, you look at this country, you look at things and go, I'm frustrated, I'm upset. I understand, I get it, I feel it too. But you know what? God's not done. God's in control. God's got a plan. And God has got better things if we'll invite him and we'll involve him and we'll invest with him. Notice this. I will shake the heavens and the earth. I will shake all nations. God's not finished with this world yet. Listen, I will shake. And the desire of nations, Jesus is going to come back. And how many know the best wine is yet to come? And when he comes, he's going to set up a kingdom that will be last forever, a kingdom of peace and joy and hope, a kingdom that will not end. And notice this, and I will fill my house. How many know he was talking about the temple in Jerusalem then, but he's also talking about this church and all of the churches that preach the gospel of Jesus. He said, I will fill my house with my glory. And notice this, the glory of the latter house will be greater than the former house. In other words, the best wine is for today. The best wine is now. The best wine that God wants us to taste is for us today.